Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we come before you now asking that you would feed us with your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would let the manna fall from heaven, but not just a little, but give us food for the whole day. We ask your blessing upon the word, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Somewhere in the world, there is a war going on. There is conflict in the world. Right now, it's as far as the Middle East goes, it seems that there is a peace treaty that is has a domino effect. And for that, we are thankful. But somewhere in the world, there are wars going on that do not make the headlines. We're not aware of those wars, yet they exist. One of those wars is the Christian life. The problem today is that spiritual warfare is so seldom mentioned, therefore it's very little known. And most believers are unaware that they are in a war. It doesn't surprise me that so many Christians are discontent or they are confused with their life and their situation, because they're not aware of what is happening in them and around them. Christians have been placed on the front lines to do battle, but they're unaware that they are soldiers for Christ. And so, because we are unaware of our calling, we are expecting the comforts of home. How silly it would be for the soldiers on the front lines who have dug into the foxholes to complain that they don't have cable TV there in the foxhole with them. But that's us. The church is at war with the powers of darkness. But because we are not aware of it, because we have not focused upon it, we complain that there's a sniper in the tree trying to shoot at us. If we were really honest with ourselves, what we want is, we just want to be left alone. We don't want conflict. We want to be comfortable. But my friend, there is no peace between a holy God and an unholy serpent. Satan knows that his time is short, so he has already begun to make war. John, writing in the book of Revelation, says, "Then the dragon was enraged at the woman." The woman, you see, is the church. "The dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus." The woman and her offspring is the church. This is a statement about Satan waging war against the church, against God's people, against you. And this is evident by the fact that it was right after God had created the world and pronounced it all good that Satan, that old enemy of the church, he began to wage war against the kingdom of God by tempting Adam and Eve. It didn't take him long to act. He didn't put off tomorrow what he wanted to accomplish today. The devil is no procrastinator. His mentality of war was a first strike approach. But the good news is that he's not the only one who's ready to fight. As a matter of fact, the first declaration of war comes from the mouth of Jesus Christ in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Jesus says to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers." God is declaring war. And it's interesting that the first declaration, the first announcement of the covenant of grace, that God is going to show mercy, that God is going to save his people from sin, the first declaration, the first announcement of the covenant of grace is done in the context of declaring war. God says, "I am going to put hatred between you and the seed of the woman," meaning between Satan and Christ, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, Satan and his minions and the church. God declares war, and he does it by saying that through holy hatred, I will do battle against the serpent. When you look at the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you begin to see that the Bible really is a manual for warfare. From first to last, it tells us that we are in a struggle. We are in a war, and it tells us what instruments of warfare we are to use. The Apostle John tells us in 1 John that the reason the Son of God appeared, the reason that Jesus Christ came to earth, was to destroy the work of the devil. And we see this in Revelation chapter 20. It says, "And the devil who deceived the nations was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever." So we can see from the scriptures that the battle is the Lord's battle to fight and to win. That's why the scriptures call Jesus Christ the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. It's not simply a description of what he does. It is a description of who he is. It is his title. We might have somebody that comes to church that served in the military. And when we would introduce that person to the congregation, we might say, "This is General so-and-so or Colonel so-and-so. My great uncle was a colonel in the United States Army." And even though I would just call him Uncle Bob, when other people came to the house, it was Colonel Nelson. That was his title. That was who he was. The Lord strong and almighty. That is the title of Jesus Christ. That's what he does. And he is that way all the time, every moment, every second. You know, at the end of the day, you leave your work and you go home and you go rest. There is never a time that Jesus goes home to rest from being the Lord Almighty, strong in battle. He is all the time the King. But until the day that Christ returns and destroys all of evil and casts the devil into the lake of fire, in the meantime, Christ the King, Christ the Lord Almighty, he chooses to fight this battle against evil. He chooses to fight this battle against the kingdom of darkness by working in and through His church. Christ is actively fighting the presence of evil in the world and in you every day. But He's doing it through the church. It's Christ who fights the battle, yes. But He does it through the Holy Spirit empowering you to fight against sin and the kingdom of darkness. Let me give you a couple of examples. Okay, we've all sinned, haven't we? You ever commit the same sin over again? Sure. You commit the same sin, you ask God to forgive you, and you resolutely say, I'm not going to fall into that sin again. And what happens? You do. The Apostle Paul had the same experience. He tells the Roman church, man, I don't understand it. The things I want to do, I don't do. But the things I don't want to do, man, that's what I do. He's talking about his struggle with sin in his life. Now, the struggle with sin in your life, your struggle with sin in your life, and your struggle with sin in your life, the struggle with sin in my life, that is a manifestation of Christ the King opposing the kingdom of darkness. The Holy Spirit works in your life to bring conviction of sin. And that is Christ the King exercising His office as King to fight against sin. So you see, when you become upset that you're sinning, my friend, that's a good thing. That's a real good thing. That is saying that the Holy Spirit is indwelling in you. The Spirit of Christ is in you, fighting against sin and evil. Another example. You're saddened and angered over the millions of babies being murdered every year through abortion. So what do? Well, you pray that Roe versus Wade is overturned, and then you use your privilege as a citizen of this nation to vote for elected officials who would be against that. See, that is Christ the King working in your life to oppose the kingdom of darkness, to oppose sinful things. You have a friend that's not a believer. Maybe someone in your family who is not a believer. And you desire that they would become a Christian, that they would be saved from their sins. So what do? You pray for them. You share the gospel with them. That is a manifestation of Christ the King working in your life. How can they believe unless they hear, Paul tells the Romans? And how can they hear unless someone goes and talks to them? So when you share the gospel with your family or your friends who are non-believers, that is an example of Christ the King manifesting in your life this warfare, this struggle, this wrestling against the kingdom of darkness. See, in all these cases that I've mentioned, and there are many more, the objective is to destroy the influence of sin in my heart, in your heart, in our church, in our community. Thus, to oppose sin, it is consistent then with the love of God. The gospel of grace is announced in a declaration of war. God will work to oppose sin in your life and in the life of your community. God is the power. The Holy Spirit is the power. But you're the instrument. Paul, when he writes to the Philippians, says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." Speaking through the prophet Ezekiel, Jesus says, "I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws." Listen to what God said to Joshua. "No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life." Well, why is that? And God answers the question. "Because I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to give you every place that you set your foot. Therefore, be strong and courageous." God is going to secure the victory. But he's going to do it as the Israelite army moves out to confront the Canaanite army. The victory is secured in Christ. But that's not a reason to be lazy. That's not a reason to go back to bed and to sleep late. Instead, it is a reason. It is an incentive to be strong and courageous. Excuse me. In my hometown, when I was growing up, if you went out for a sports team, I mean, you might not have been very athletic, but if you went out for the sports team and you went to the practices, you were on the team. You might not get to play a whole lot because there were better athletes on the field than you, but because you persevered, you were going to be on the team. You're going to get a jersey. People would recognize you as being on the team. And because you knew that up front, you knew that I'm not going to be cut from the team. It gave you a reason to persevere. It gave you a reason to be encouraged. We need a reason to persevere. We need a reason to be encouraged. Because what we're going to face is going to be quite difficult. Without Christ, Satan will eat our lunch. Just think what he did to Adam and Eve. And they were without sin. It didn't take him long to lead them down the wrong road. Now just think what he's going to do to us. We who have sin in our hearts. How did God appear to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? How did God appear to these men that gave them so much encouragement to engage the battle? Well, we are told. God says to Moses, "I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. I appeared to them and revealed myself to them as God Almighty." This is all they had to go on. That God was Almighty and he would accomplish everything that he had promised them, but that he would do it through them. And this is why Paul tells us in our passage today, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." The command is given to us to comfort us and to encourage us. But if the battle is the Lord's, why do I need to be comforted? Well, you need to be comforted because it is going to be a difficult situation that you're going to be in. In one of the Star Wars movies, Yoda says to Luke Skywalker, he says, "Don't give in to your fear." And Luke responds by saying, "Well, I'm not afraid." And Yoda says, "But you will be." As you begin to take up the full armor of God and to engage in battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil, the primary weapon that Satan will use against you is fear. Notice what Paul tells us. The nature of the conflict itself is what Paul calls a wrestling or a struggling. Verse 12, for our struggle, or we wrestle with. That's the description of the encounter. We are like Joshua. We must fight the Canaanites. They don't want us to be in the promised land. We must deal with the Canaanites. The word that Paul uses to describe this encounter is that it's a struggle. Now, the word is very interesting here in the Greek. It's not used to imply sport or recreation. But when he says, we wrestle against the powers of darkness, he's talking about the difficulty of the encounter, the sharpness of the encounter. Just think about wrestling for a moment. When you wrestle, it's single combat. It's hand to hand. Wrestling is not fighting against a multitude, but wrestling occurs when one enemy singles out another. It is like David and Goliath. It is like Jesus being in the desert and having to face Satan. It is the experience of Jeremiah when God tells Jeremiah to stand up and gird yourself, get yourself ready, because I'm going to make you into a fortified city. What God is telling the prophet is that the kings and the priests and all of Jeremiah's neighbors were going to turn against him and seek to kill him. There would be nobody left to comfort Jeremiah except God himself. You know, in some sports, and I know this, some sports you can mess up a whole lot and still win the game. In football, you might miss the tackle, but your teammate makes the tackle. In baseball, you might strike out, but the guy coming to bat behind you, he's going to hit the home run. Yeah, in some sports, you've got a team effort. But in wrestling, it's only you and your opponent. You are singled out. You can't escape the conflict because the enemy has his eye on you, and you are the only one in the ring. You can't stand in the ring and hope you don't get noticed. Maybe if I'm real quiet and stand real still, maybe the guy won't see me. No. In spiritual wrestling, it is like the lion that singles out the prey and then stalks the prey until the opportune time. If you're a Christian, you're being hunted. If you're a Christian, you are being hunted. Satan prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. This is a war that you cannot avoid. No one else can fight it for you. Your preacher can't do it. Your session can't do it. Your husband and wife can't do it. Your mom and dad can't do it. No, you must do it. You must put on the full armor of God. You must take your stand against the devil's schemes. But you do so with encouragement. Because the same war, the same conflict, the same struggle, the same wrestling, spiritual wrestling that you were going to go through, it's the same thing the prophets went through. Same thing the apostles went through. Same thing the early church went through. As you read your Bible, look at the life of the prophets. Look at the life of the apostles. Everywhere they went, conflict, conflict, conflict. And now they are standing around the throne of Christ. And they're praying for you. They're cheering you on. Engage the enemy. Fight against sin. Fight against the kingdom of darkness. We are victorious. And in Christ Jesus, so will you. Spiritual conflict takes place in close quarters because the enemy is always close to us. How close is it there, preacher? Well, the enemy ate bread with Jesus, did he not? It was the wife of Adam, the wife of Job, that tempted them. It was David's heart that led him to sin. It was Peter's self-confidence that was his downfall. You see, when the war is close, the opportunity for receiving wounds is also close. Think of David and Peter and Job. They were all victorious over their struggles. Yet they all obtained scars in their struggles. When the war is close, the opportunity for victory, the opportunity for defeat, is also at its highest. And then the last thing about spiritual wrestling is that it's for the duration of your life. It is single, close combat all of your life. Verse 12, Paul says, our struggle is. He didn't say it was. He says it is. We cannot take a vacation from spiritual wrestling. For wherever we go, the enemy is already there. Lot was a righteous man. His soul was distressed by the sinful things that he saw and the place that he lived in. But no sooner was he taken to a place of refuge that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and then Lot himself was overtaken in sin. Noah, a righteous man in his day, builds the ark. Only a few escape the flood. But no sooner does Noah walk out of the ark that he becomes drunk. Peter walks and talks and has close communion with the Lord. Peter walks on the water with Jesus. Who would have guessed that even at that point, Peter was so vulnerable to spiritual attack? All of our life, all of our life will be like Jeremiah, a man born for strife. As we wrestle against the world, the flesh, and the devil, we will come to see and know and experience Christ in our life as a man acquainted with sorrow. You need to hear that. You need to be prepared for that. You cannot be taken by surprise that the evil one is out to harm you. When Israel marched out of Egypt, they were marching as to war. They march out of Egypt, out of their captivity, but they march to war against the Canaanites. When we are delivered from our spiritual Egypt, from sinful bondage, we do so to march out to engage the enemy of darkness. There is not one Christian who is at peace with the forces of darkness. So don't think that you are exempt, because you are not. Have you ever paid close attention to the words of the hymn, Onward Christian Soldier? Let me read it for you. Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not exempt from this struggle. We're not even put in the back ranks. No, we are on the front lines. If you were spared the conflict, it's because you're not in the kingdom of God. But Christ has brought you into the kingdom of God, not to spare you the conflict, but in order that you would be spent in the conflict. Do you understand that? You're not saved to be spared the conflict. You are saved in order to be spent up in the conflict. Jesus says, if you're going to be my disciple, you must deny yourself. And that is why Paul tells us, be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the full armor of God. And he tells us that so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. The devil is out to get you. Now, I know that sounds like something your grandma would say to you, you know, to keep you behaving in church. Oh, the devil's going to get you if you talk in church. Well, grandma might have said that. But it's true. If you are a Christian, you are the object of the devil's fury. He hates you. He despises you. You were once in his camp, but you were rescued by Christ, and by your profession of faith in Christ, you have publicly deserted Satan and become his enemy. And so he is out to get you. And this spiritual wrestling, this spiritual struggle, this conflict is going to be played out every day in your life. It's going to be played out in your work, in your school, in your home, everywhere you go. There is nowhere that you can go that you will be exempt from this spiritual struggle. Therefore, my friend, put on the full armor of God. Be strong and courageous. The battle is the Lord's, and he will bring you through it, and he will bring you through it triumphantly. Praise be to God for the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. Let's pray.